Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Corey Curtis from News 2 with us in 1 hour at 8 o'clock. We will get into all things Seahawks and Titans with him a little bit later in the program. Taking your thoughts on the Titans in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Let's head to our phone line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Dustin in Hopkinsville to the program. Dustin, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. It's a good Monday. We didn't win yesterday, but for me, we won. I enjoyed that game. That's the first complete game they really put together. There was only a few times I got tired of seeing Pollard up the middle. And, I think that I'll ask the question for y'all, but I'm going to answer my question, too. Are we ready to say Cam Ward's the guy? And for me, it's yes. Today is the day. Yes, he is the guy. And he's got a lot to work on still. But, man, he implemented the tight ends. He ran around like a madman. I think he probably had more yards than both of our running backs. But just imagine what we would be today without the man, Borgonzi. Look all over the field yesterday where he passed that ball to Helm, DK. We'll throw Restrepo in there. He gets another game from me. I'm not ready to say he's a world beater or nothing. I think he will be because of his footwork and getting open, but I think we're right in the ship. I've been hard on Amy. If she steps back and Brinker just holds Borgonzi's hair and does nothing else, we'll be good. Because that man made some picks, and I did not want Cam Ward at number one. I did not. And after the preseason, I finally said, hey, he's our guy. Let's see what he's got. And every time Trey calls in, I have to call in and say, look, dude, chill. Give him the season. But, man, this team is looking really impressive. And do we have as many holes as we thought? The line is the one thing. If I could have a genie in a bottle and rub it, fix the line, and I think our team would look totally different, the offensive line. But I'll hang up and see what you guys think about calling Cam Ward the guy today.
Thank you, Dustin. Appreciate it. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to call Cam Ward the guy today.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, I think he's meaning like I took that as Dustin thinks the Titans, that's the franchise quarterback, and yesterday's performance solidified it, is what I'm taking that as to mean. I'm not going to go there. It was good yesterday. And now, let's keep in mind, as good as it was yesterday, and I think as the common theme I have seen from Titans fans that we have heard from today is they actually felt, halfway decent either walking out of the stadium or turning the TV off when the game was over yesterday, and that's not been a very common occurrence. I mean, I would like to remind you, they had 3 points at halftime, right? They had 3 points at halftime. And late into the third, the only touchdown they had scored was a Chim DK punt return for a touchdown. So there's still a lot of work to be done offensively. Having said that, yesterday, to me, unquestionably a positive development for Cam Ward. But no, like, I'm not willing to say that he's for sure going to work out yet.
No. He's going to be the starter next year, and I would argue it would even take quite a bit of failure for him to not be the starter in 27. But yeah, like the guy, it's encouraging. I think he has a chance to be a good quarterback. It depends on what lens you want. Again, if you want to look through the lens of number one overall pick, you could still sit here and say, what? Right? Like that doesn't look like the number one overall pick, but at this point, it's just about trying to improve, end up with a good quarterback, and then end up with a good team around the good quarterback so you can win football games. And I think all that is possible. Let me just quickly get to this texter, Robbie,
okay.
On McCarthy. He says, play good somewhere else, Joe. Really? He's throwing to Jefferson, Addison, and Hockenson. He's cooked. It's a war crime to throw under 100 with those guys. Look, we would all agree that J.J. McCarthy is bad right now, okay? He's bad. Are we really going to say, nope, forget that career when he hasn't played half of a season of football? I'm just saying. You tell me that there's no way that guy could ever be good in the NFL. This is this is the sickness we have in the NFL, you know, which is just, oh my God, well, that throw him out.
Well, again, that goes back to, I think, you know, even taking that back to Dustin's comment there. Yeah, you know, I would like to transport, if I could, like transport Titans fans back in time to December of 2006, right? Vince Young's on this incredible run, and the Titans look like they were dead in the water. And then Vince Young makes a few plays throughout the year. I mean, the one that really stands out to me is the overtime run in Houston, right? Like everybody, I think if you're not even a Titans fan, like you probably remember if you're an NFL fan that was watching football, that play, right? Like he just took off and ran and they scored and he just like basically ran through the tunnel in Houston. And it was like the end of that year in 2006, they had just drafted Vince Young. He was 23 years old. And while you looked at the passing numbers and they weren't good, like nothing blew you away, right? Like I think he ended up with, 2,199 yards, 12 touchdowns, 13 picks, completion percentage of 51.5. Like those numbers aren't good. However, if you watched him play and you asked any Titans fan on earth at the end of that year, is Vince Young the guy? All of them would have said, yeah. I'm like, yep, he's the guy. I mean, even the next year, there's some. It's not a very good year for Vince Young. He still took him to the playoffs the next year. And then he totally fell off a cliff after that. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, I think it's so hard to know whether or not somebody is actually, quote-unquote, the guy their first year anyway. And the Titans have a firsthand example of, I mean, Vince Young won Offensive Rookie of the Year in his rookie season and still just totally crashed and burned as a quarterback for the Titans. So there's still some distance here. Some ways to go in this conversation before we're ever going to know.
Well, fast forward 9 years after what you're talking about, and Marcus Mariota, you know, wins a game in New Orleans with Malarkey as interim coach in a rookie year that had showed a lot of promise, showed more promise than this rookie year has. And then go a year after that, 100% he's the guy who's going to be the Titans quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years. I mean, other than you said he sucked then. Marcus Mariota, what he showed as a rookie, and then the next year, let's see if Cam Ward can get to that. Okay, now Mariota also got himself a good offensive line in year two and a good running back in year two, and all of a sudden, holy cow, they have a center, they have a right tackle, they have a left tackle, they have a running back, and all of a sudden it looked way better. Let's see if Cam Ward can have a good team around him. I'd like to see him, you know, perform with better conditions and see what they have. But yeah, it's just too early to, it's no matter what happens, it's too early. It always was going to be too early.
One texter says, just tuned in. Have you apologized to the fans for dissing them for thinking Restrepo deserves a chance to play? All you talking dogs on the radio think you know so much more than the fans. This is from an unnamed texter on the text.
All right. That's trolling. That's trolling, right? Like this is not a serious text.
Joe, would you like to apologize to the fans?
I'm calling out unserious text here.
Who, by the way, I think last week, didn't we say, put him out there. Why not?
Yes. I mean, I don't think we've been sitting here saying, shut up, fans. He will sit and you will like it. I don't think that.
I think the only thing I've pushed back on is like some fans have thought that, you know, Restrepo is going to be like some 1,000-yard player out there when they finally put him out there. And I was like, okay, he's probably not going to be that. And the NFL's kind of told you what they think about the guy. But I'm glad he got on the field. Now, again, have we apologized to the fans? He had 2 catches for 26 yards yesterday, guys.
He dropped a touchdown pass, by the way.
You're acting like he's Randy Moss. Like he had 2 catches for 26 yards. Again, good for the – I'm glad he got – I really am. I'm glad he got out there. I'm glad he got his moment in the NFL. I hope he plays again. Hope he plays again this Sunday. But, I mean, no, I'm not apologizing to the fans. Sorry.
Yeah, he's good for him. Finally, in late November – after, you know, Mason Kinsey and many others got opportunities, they threw him out there. Like, if he was that good, do you really think that the Titans, of all teams, as talentless as they are just going to just not check it out? I mean, you know, good for him. This is not a Restrepo yesterday is not cause for either side of that ridiculous debate to scream. Just, okay, good for him. Got a couple catches. Play him again. Why not?
Why not? Yeah. I mean, it's.
that was a trolling text. I don't believe that text is serious.
I don't know.
It's not a Big Joe troll. Joel said that's a Big Joe. I know Big Joe's number. Now, maybe Big Joe has a burner. I guess it's possible.
Could be. I mean, congratulations to Restrepo yesterday. Cam Ward, it's a very positive development yesterday that he played as well as he did. And again, I keep going back to, especially against the defense that he played. That's a good defense that they played yesterday. And he found a way to make some plays with the supporting cast that he had around him yesterday, which is not very good, right? Like, it's a very young supporting cast that's very unproven in this league. So it's a positive development from Cam Ward. Now, as the season goes on, and as you round the corner here, I mean, look, they're 1-10, they're 11 games, we've got six left coming up. Over these last six, can you continue to take some positive steps where you get to the end of the season, Joe, and it's like you can point to some real progress that he's made from the beginning of the year to the end of the year? Because if that happens, number one, I think you're going to have a totally different feeling if you're a Titans fan heading into the offseason, regardless of how bad their record's going to end up being. We know it's going to end up being bad. But number two, like, I think you look at it at that point and say, you know what? Look at everything that happened to him this year. They fired the coach. Calvin Ridley basically was a non-factor all year long. They had a bunch of young guys, a bunch of kids out there playing at wide receiver. They had an offensive line that, you know, every now and then has almost gotten him killed throughout this year. And you know what? He got through it. He made some serious progress, and he's better for it on the other side. That will be the talking point at the end of the year if he continues to take strides like he did yesterday against Seattle. And to me, that's a very good thing for the Titans. They need that development to happen.
Absolutely. No, it's good. There's growth happening. And I think there's been a little bit, you know, in recent weeks, but there's been a lot of, to me, like step forward, step back, all this stuff. I mean, yesterday to me was a clear step forward. And so that's a great thing. Also, I think all of this is kind of an example of just how down bad this franchise and its fan base has been. I mean, look.
It feels like they won the game yesterday because we're talking. It's like, well, they only lost by six to Seattle in the NFL.
Yeah. But you know what? Again, it's like Eddie Murphy and the, you know, the saltines and the Ritzes, man. Sometimes the saltines taste like Ritzes when you just haven't had any for a long time.
Diego Pavia, a totally dominant performance in what I think – is going to be his last home game at Vanderbilt. We will get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
What emotions were you dealing with tonight on senior day?
Well, it was the last time I was ever going to play in the bank. When coach was talking, he got emotional. And it was I don't really cry, you know, and I was crying before the pregame just to – it's a dream come true for me as a little kid. I've always dreamed of playing in the SEC, being on this stage. We got one more game to go and punch our ticket to the college football playoffs.
That's Diego Pavia after a dominant performance on Saturday. Vanderbilt wins 45-17 against Kentucky in a game that was not even that close. I mean, it was 45-3 heading into the fourth quarter. Diego Pavia, 33 of 39, 484 yards passing, which is a Vanderbilt record. 5 touchdowns, 1 interception in the game. He also had 48 yards and a touchdown on the ground as well. So, Joe, over 500 yards of offense that Diego Pavia put up in this game. And if you were looking for kind of a way to close things out, the home portion of his Vanderbilt career, not a whole lot better than that in terms of just the pure performance that he put there. Joe, you were there for it. What did you make of Diego Pavia and his final home game at Vanderbilt?
Now, the guy's unbelievable. And he keeps, to me, getting better. And the way he's throwing the football now, especially the first deep touchdown pass to Trey Richardson, but both of them were just like, you cannot throw the ball better than that. And he's just – and look, Kentucky is highly motivated. They held Auburn to 3 on the road. They destroyed Florida, which I know we can see Florida. You know, we'll talk about Florida. But, like, Kentucky – is a good defensive team. You know, they look, you know, what they did against Ole Miss and against Texas, you know, which I know Texas is up and down. That's a good defensive team. Now, they were banged up too. They you know, you get to this time of year, you got some starters missing on defense, but there was no reason to think that Vanderbilt, to me, was going to do what they did. And it's all about Pavia. And he has good weapons, but he's playing at an incredibly high level right now. I mean, after the game, I asked him about his improvement as a passer. He's like, yeah, you guys never thought I could throw. I'm like, well, I mean, I didn't say you couldn't throw, you know, but I mean.
Rex Rhodes a hater.
I mean, there was a little bit of like, yeah, you didn't throw, did you?
You think I suck. Say it.
But, I mean, it's amazing. The three-game run he's on, you know, it's, to me, separate, and it's not the most important thing. I know somebody will always get mad at us when we even bring this up. It's kind of a big deal. If he goes in and plays at around the same level and beats Tennessee on Saturday, at that point, he's got my Heisman vote. I mean, I think it's hard. Like, I'm, you know, some of it is a story, and to me, that's not the most important thing. It's like, who is the best player in college football? Yeah, that's what it is. Like, I can't get to Julian Sain or like Fernando Mendoza as a better college football player than him, or it's getting harder to get there. Again, he has to do that, which is going to be very difficult. But at that point, he'll have my Heisman vote. Now, the Heisman votes don't come in until after the conference championship games, and he's going to have to sit and watch all that, and you have to just let it all unfold. But I think he's given himself a chance to win it, a chance at this point. But you got to go in and do ridiculous things against the Vols. But, yeah, I mean, it's just it's insane. I'm watching him, and I'm like, okay, if you can throw the ball like that and move around like that and extend plays and see the field – somebody in the NFL is going to like you.
Well, Trey Richardson had 3 touchdown catches in the game. You know, again, I mean, Stowers' numbers didn't blow you away. I mean, 6 catches for 36 yards. But again, you watch that guy play and you're like, yeah, he's a problem.
Yeah.
Like he's pretty darn good. Like I said, it was 45-3 heading into the fourth quarter. There was a funny kind of shot on the sideline of like Diego Pavia clearly trying to stay in the game and get back out there. And Clark Lee is like, Diego, no, you're not going back out there. It's just not happening.
He won. Diego won.
Exactly. And he got back out there. So it was very funny. Look, it's a dominant performance from Vanderbilt offensively. I mean, to me, Joe, and I realize Kentucky's not very good. But like you said, they have had some good defensive performances this year. Now, as people have pointed out, like the 2 teams they've played in Tennessee, they've surrendered 101 points against them, so it's not gone well for Kentucky in the matchups of the teams from Tennessee in this state.
That's true.
But, like, to me, it's also a, yes, you needed to win the game. I think from a college football playoff standpoint, too, like, just absolutely destroying Kentucky helps you as well, like, looking as good as you looked offensively. And him playing as well, Pavia playing as well as he did, matters in this discussion. So, look, it's all going to come down to Saturday. And we're going to get into that here in a few minutes. And frankly, we're going to get into that every day throughout the week because it's a massive game coming up on Saturday at Neyland Stadium. But a good performance for him. And right now, Joe, the offense for Vanderbilt is humming heading into this game against Tennessee. And that's going to be a really interesting matchup on Saturday.
Yeah, look, I think I don't like either defense on Saturday. I love both offenses. I don't like either defense, you know? Like, you get a stop either defense Saturday, you get a stop. You should go to the sideline and celebrate that because I think it's going to be a – unless weather – and I don't think it's supposed to be cold, but it's not supposed to be bad weather. I mean, unless weather disrupts it, I think you're going to see these teams going up and down the field on each other. And, yeah, the style points are good. You know, a lot of people after the game were watching the Utah incredible comeback. If Vanderbilt wins at Tennessee, they're going to be past Utah. Now, I think Vanderbilt would be past BYU. Now, again, you're looking at BYU, you know, would be if they went out there 11-1 and then if they lose to Texas Tech in the Big 12 title game, I still think Vanderbilt would beat that team out at this point. But even with that said, they have to get past someone ahead of them in the SEC. Now, Vanderbilt's, according to Austin Mock, our playoff, that they more than doubled. Their chances went up to like 29%. So I think they're like 14. They went to 29%. So, again, that is the probability. A lot of it is that the people, you know, they're not favored to win at Tennessee. But still, who do they get past in the SEC? Who do they move ahead of? Because Oklahoma, Missouri totally botched that. Your boy Dorkwitz just completely, you know, turtled up and went Mike McCoy in that game.
Yeah, he sucks.
You know, so you got, is the lane stuff? Is the lane stuff? Because if the lane stuff messes them up and they lose to Mississippi State and he leaves and the committee is like, oh, so now your play caller's out?
They'll be out.
They'll be out. That's Vanderbilt's ticket. Alabama at Auburn. Can Auburn pull that off? And then, of course, you know, Oklahoma plays LSU. I mean, LSU's talented enough to do it, you know, but they're not exactly playing like gangbusters. So it's going to take help. I think one of those three teams I mentioned, I think, has to lose, or I think Vanderbilt's going to be the last team out.
Joe, I know
the
not the
first team out.
I know it's not the most important thing at the moment because there's a massive game coming up, but I do want to get your thoughts on this really quickly. Is Jared Curtis about to flip from Georgia to Vanderbilt?
It certainly looks that way. I mean, basically, you know, the quarterback they had committed, decommitted. I mean, Billy Derrick asked Pavia after the game about, I think this might be an NCAA violation. Maybe it's not anymore. I don't know. But Pavia's like, yeah, I hope Jared Curtis comes here and he's got like Patrick Mahomes arm strength or arm talent and all this stuff. And he was also speaking on behalf of his backup, Blaze, saying, you know, he's going to be in there too. But yeah, I think that's a formality at this point that Jared Curtis, Georgia fans have resigned themselves. He's gone. You'll rue the day that you screwed over the visor.
Yep.
And Vanderbilt fans seem to be celebrating it. It's just, it hasn't been made official, but it looks that way. So what a massive, you know, if it does come out. And you know what? I was talking with Gentry in the press box Saturday. It's like, I mean, he doesn't really, like, his skill set doesn't fit this offense. You know, I mean, he is a big, I think Gentry compared to Matthew Stafford, big, rangy, incredible arm, you know, five-star, like, but to me, it's like, you know what, man, if you're a good coach, good OC, you'll go ahead and,
yeah,
can he move it all? Like, yeah, you'll figure it out. Yeah, you know, playing to his, I mean, look, Vanderbilt's offense to me has changed in the last few weeks to where it's just like, I mean, they do some option stuff. They have the misdirection, all that. But, I mean, basically, they're spreading the field in San Diego. Swing it around, man. And so what they're doing the last few weeks, I mean, if you have a guy with that level of talent, I think you can make that work.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. The Vols in the streak in the swamp. We will get into that coming up next, which also sets up just a big one at Neyland Stadium. Your thoughts on the matchup between Vanderbilt and Tennessee. We're going to get to that all week long. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up here in just a few minutes. Corey Curtis from News 2 at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans and Cam Ward's performance with him. Joe, the streak is over. Tennessee heads into the swamp. They win 31-11 and take down Florida. So Florida drops to 3-8. Tennessee gets to 8-3. First win for Tennessee in Gainesville since 2003. Obviously, very well documented heading into that game. Joey Aguilar, 17-22, 204 yards, one touchdown, quarterback rating of 94.9. Tennessee ran the ball 51 times, 51 rushes, 248 yards, three touchdowns on the ground for Tennessee in this game. It was 31-0 at the half. And then Tennessee, I believe, had three offensive possessions in the second half, and cruise the end of it. I have some things to say to Vols fans that I will get to here in just a few minutes. But, Joe, your thoughts on Tennessee ending the streak in the swamp?
Yeah, it's not like these kids have any – I mean, maybe, you know, other than maybe kids who, like, grew up – who are on the team who, like, grew up Tennessee fans have that probably that much sense for the history here. Fans obviously do. But it did feel a little bit like in that first half, like getting out many, many years of frustration.
Yes, it did.
At the expense of the Gators, which, again, it's like there were so many other opportunities over the years for Tennessee to do exactly that. It's kind of interesting that this is the team that does that. But, yeah, they just went out there and kicked the crap out of them, and good for them because that's what they should have done. And, so for the Tennessee fan, I would imagine that first half was a little bit cathartic, if not a lot cathartic. And you watch that and you watch it and you watch on both sides of the ball what they're doing. And it is a shame. You know, it's a shame that because right now we could just have Oklahoma move to the side and we could have Tennessee and Vanderbilt really, truly playing for a playoff spot. That's what we should be talking about this week. It's still a huge game, but that's what we should be talking about. We should be talking about Tennessee and Vanderbilt just straight up playing for a spot. So it's too bad that all the stuff that had to happen to help Oklahoma in that game in Knoxville happened, but that's what happened. This is still, when this team puts some things together, and hey, I don't know, you tell me, Robbie, maybe not a bad idea to get Boo Carter out of the
I was going to say that. I mean, look, I understand Florida's not good, and Florida's passing offense in particular is just bad. Like DJ Lagway, I'm really interested to see what happens with him. He's obviously got a lot of talent. And Joe, there are some games where he'll put together, you know, a few drives where you're like, wow, I mean, it's really good. You know, by and large, they're not very good throwing the football. But I did notice, like, you know, on the road, in the swamp, you played about as well as you can play defensively in terms of defending the pass. They had one breakdown at the end of the game when the game was over. And I did wonder, like, huh, Boo Carter's not out there. They sure look a whole lot better with Boo Carter just off the team. Now, it's Florida, so we'll see what they look like against Vanderbilt. But I did notice that.
Well, and maybe it's as simple as like, okay, no longer a distraction, no longer someone you wonder if they're focused, if they watched film, if they want to play, right? It's just like, okay, I mean, that can be a real pain in the butt for a team if you have just one person sometimes who's in a key role who is just like, and again, you go back to leaders not wanting to back on the team and all that stuff. So, yeah, again, I guess you could play Monday morning quarterback on that whole thing too. But regardless, Tennessee is still a pretty darn good football team. And again, that is, yeah, like Ethan from Lawrenceburg pointed out, you know, they could be playing even, I guess, right? They could be playing for a spot in Atlanta potentially, but certainly they'd be playing for. You know, that's what you want to do in the SEC now is you want to avoid that. You want to avoid that game. But they certainly could be playing for, you know, a spot in the playoffs. So, well, I mean, we had a texter who said, sorry, texter was like, no way a two-loss SEC team gets left out. I mean, do the quick math for you. Notre Dame's going to get in now.
Yeah.
So there's one. Group of five gets one. Okay. Big Ten is going to get three because Oregon beat USC. So how many is that? Is that five?
Yeah.
So let's say the ACC and the SEC each get one, and I think that's still most likely. Okay, Texas A&M's in, Georgia's in, Ole Miss right now is in, Oklahoma right now is in, they're ahead of Vanderbilt, Alabama right now is in. How many is that? Texas A&M, Georgia, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Bama. Okay, we just filled the field. That's, I mean, 12. So you can't sit here and say, no way a two-loss SEC team is getting left out. If everything goes according to – If all these teams win their games, and Vanderbilt is, again, probably going to be the first team left out of the field. They need help, along with the toughest part of the whole thing, which is going to win in Knoxville on Saturday.
This is going to sound kind of dumb, but it just is what it is. There was a moment early in the game I knew Tennessee was going to win. I mean, besides the fact where they just scored four touchdowns in their first four possessions. But Mike Matthews, I think it was the second drive of the game. Mike Matthews caught a 21-yard pass and was 1-on-4 with Florida and just plowed through all of them. Like, he picked up like 7 yards, just lowering his head and plowed through all of them. And I was like, I have seen a Florida player make that play against Tennessee approximately 80 times in my life. And that was the moment, Joe, I knew they were going to win. I was like, they are the more physical team by far. Mike Matthews just drug like 5 Gators with him, 6 yards. They're going to win. That's when I knew. I think it was 7-0 at the time.
Nice. Yeah, I mean – like those early possessions. I mean, seriously, it was like, is this like a 7-on-7 scrimmage right here? Like, it's just like whatever they wanted to do. And it's kind of, obviously it's sad to me that this is not going to be an annual thing. This is part of the, you know, all the people who have screwed up college sports, and some of the things that you get in some cases in college sports anymore, you have great rivalries that are just completely wiped off the face of the earth. But it's kind of nice for Tennessee at the end of that as an annual game to go ahead and finally get that done in the swamp.
Well, and the one thing I would say on that too, like, it's pretty clear, I think, if you listen to them after the game, if you watch them after the game, that game meant something. And Heupel kind of talked about that. He's like, it's pretty clearly meant something to our guys. So, like, I mean, Vanderbilt is going to mean something to Tennessee on Saturday. If you were convinced that, well, Tennessee is out of the college football playoff running and there's just nothing left to play for, like, from a mentality standpoint, those guys wanted it on Saturday, and they're going to want it again, obviously, this Saturday. That doesn't mean they're going to win, but I think if you were expecting Tennessee after the Oklahoma game to just lay down because they're not getting in the college football playoff, that clearly did not happen on Saturday.
No, and good for them. And that's, you know, look, man, the playoff keeps getting bigger and bigger. I think it's as big as it needs to be. It's going to get bigger. I mean, they're seriously trying to push this 24 thing. It's the dominant topic, but like there's a lot of teams out there that are playing for bowl games or just, and there's a lot of teams out there spilling their guts and playing hard still, you know. It's still a great sport. There's still a lot of pride out there, and I think it's great to see, you know, a Tennessee team come out and do what it did and care about that game. And I think this game is big for Josh Heupel. We talked to the Topster a couple weeks ago about the prospect of, you know, this loss or the next loss. And obviously Saturday is huge. Of course it is.
Yeah.
But you look at, like, Heupel, and obviously he's got to figure out Georgia. I mean, he had a field goal. That's the thing. I was sitting there lamenting the Oklahoma game. I mean, just make a field goal against Georgia. Same thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're in great shape. So he's got to figure that out, but they've been more competitive there. But, like, he's doing pretty well against the teams that you need to do well against as the Tennessee head coach. And to get this one in the swamp in this season, that's a big deal for him.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll have the Rob rant coming up next, Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Chase and Big Joe broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday. Prior to the Monday night football game, Monday night matchup is the Panthers taking on the 49ers. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I can assure you that the gap is closing.
He looks like a Sherpa on the sidelines taking people up a mountain.
Somebody run over the fraternity. Throw a freaking brick through their window.
Hey, Butch, you're at the one-yard line. What are you going to do? Hey, let's throw it around the yard.
People make mistakes. We all make mistakes.
I don't know.
Go Gator.
Well, every day I look in the mirror.
Just kiss my ass.
Let me say this about the great state of Tennessee. Just come on down to Tennessee where there's no prostitution. They're all volunteers.
To me, this is the dumbest possible outcome. It is time for the Rob Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. Speaking of Tennessee, I have a message for a certain section of Vols fans here. What's wrong with you people? What is wrong with you? Joe, in the aftermath of this game, Tennessee wins 31-11 on Saturday in the Swamp. Have not won there since 2003. The 31-11 margin of victory, Joe, ties a program record for the largest margin of victory over the Gators on the road in the history of the series. The history of Tennessee playing Florida. They just tied their margin of victory for the biggest one ever. And there's a certain subsection of Tennessee fan bases that are just absolutely pissed at Josh Heupel for, quote, taking the foot off the gas in the second half. They had the ball three times in the second half. It was very clear that Florida's offense wasn't going to do anything. So just take the air out of the ball, get to the end, and win the game, which is what they did. They ran the ball 51 times for 248 yards. They absolutely ran it down their throat in this game. And there are Tennessee fans that are legitimately mad about their performance in the second half. And I have just decided, Joe, that there is no making these people happy. You just want to complain about something. You want to complain about Heupel, and that's fine. I'm not saying Heupel's totally blameless all the time. But now, they just won in the Swamp for the first time since 2003, and you're gonna complain now? Like, can you not just enjoy a win? You can't just enjoy beating Florida three out of the last 4 years, winning in the Swamp for the first time since I was a child? 11 years old. I'm now a grown married man with a kid. That's how long it's been since they won in the Swamp, and you can't enjoy that? I am convinced that Tennessee could win the national championship against Ohio State 75-3. And there would be people that are would be just totally pissed that they gave up a field goal in the game. And it's all they would focus on. I, for the life of me, cannot understand some of the reaction I have seen from some of these Tennessee fans in the aftermath of Saturday. Just whining and whining about the second half of a game on the road that you won by 20 points. It's amazing to me. If that's your takeaway, stop watching sports. If there's no enjoyment that you can get out of what you watch, what are you watching it for? It's amazing to me, some of the conversations that some of these Tennessee fans are having in the aftermath of that game.
That's a perfect rant. It's truly amazing. Now, so we had Nate text saying, you know, even 31-0 at the half, I wasn't, you know, convinced they were going to win. So I get that, right? It's like, what are we going to do to screw this game up? And I also, like, I get that if you're a Tennessee fan and you just lived through that half and it was so enjoyable and you got so much, you got, like, frustration out, right? 31-0, just, yes, I want 52-0. But, I mean, so there's, like, this, you know, bloodlust. Like, yeah, it keeps
going.
Fine.
That's not even what I'm talking about. There are people that legitimately pissed off that think that they sucked in the second half.
Right. So, like, I understand. Oh, are we really going to win? And also, of course, hey, you'd love it to continue. But to get to the point where, like, you're actually upset about it when, you know, you just, like you said, get out of there. Don't get anybody hurt. Just both sides just wanted the game to end, right? It's just like the game is over. It is like this is, again, one of these, okay, how many people are we talking about here? You know,
a lot. But I've seen them a lot, way more than there should be. And I'm sure when you, like, as we know, Joe, it's Tennessee's got a massive fan base. I understand that. And the majority of them, I think, have some common sense and realize what just happened on Saturday. But, yeah, it's a lot. Like, it's way more than it should be that are mad about beating Florida on the road by 20 points. Which, by the way, Joe, I guarantee you, if you told them that was the outcome before the game, they'd have been like, yeah, way to go. All right, cool.
Of course. Oh, of course. Yeah, that's, man. Like you said, I guess some of it may be just like, I don't like Heupel, so I'm going to be mad at him every opportunity I get.
Yeah.
Right? But, if it's like truly not understanding that it was 31-0 at the half and it's just time to run the ball and move on. Like, you know, Heupel is one of those coaches who, as we know, he's not afraid to keep throwing deep on people. He's got Joe Milton out there throwing bombs against Missouri up 100 a few years ago and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a little built-in, like, oh, Heupel's one of those guys who he's going to go Spurrier on him, you know, I think he played exactly right, and I think good for him, you know, because it's just like, I mean, you made your point. Right.
Well, I thought it was equally humiliating. They couldn't stop Tennessee running the ball. They knew they're just going to hand it off. They couldn't stop them.
There's that too.
What, they have the ball at the end of the game? Didn't they have the ball for like the last 7.5 minutes of the game? He just turned around, handed it off, and they could not stop them.
Yeah. No, you're right. That's actually, I mean, the thing, like, I think the ultimate disrespect in football is like when you're like, you know, you get up to the 1 yard line and you could punch it in on someone and you're just like, you know, we'll just kneel here. Thanks, guys. You know, like if you're blowing somebody out or whatever. And so you're right. Like, if you're just like, hey, you know what? We're just going to hand off the rest of the half. See if you guys can stop it. We'll keep the ball all we want. Yeah. I mean, that is a bit of disrespect, right? That's a bit of a smack in the face. But I get it. You know, I don't get it. You're right. You should scream at these people. It's absurd. But, like, I get the idea of, like, you have visions of a 50-0 win. It's just like once you see it unfold, like, okay, great. Well, anyway, we beat Florida by 20 on the road. Yay.
Yeah, like it's amazing to me, some of the conversation. Which, as Eli from Smyrna brings up, I guess Heupel, he better win on Saturday, because my goodness, if people are this mad about a 20-point win against Florida, he better not lose to Vanderbilt. There'd be people there trying to run him out of the facility if they lose that game on Saturday.
Well, if he loses to Vanderbilt, Tennessee fans can be mad. Be mad.
Sure.
You know?
I'm just saying, if this is a reaction to a 20-point win against Florida, they're going to have to hire security over there if they lose to Vanderbilt on Saturday.
I mean, a texter says, wouldn't you be concerned with Vandy coming in at the Vols and not flex a little offensive muscle?
They're up 31-0 at halftime. Good Holy grief. Crap. What do you want them to do? Like, we do – look, I understand Florida's not good. We do realize that Florida is not, you know, it's not like Tennessee's out there playing ETSU, right? We understand that, don't we?
I
mean, didn't Florida last week almost beat Ole Miss? Did I miss that?
No, they beat Texas. I mean, they should have beat Georgia.
It's Tennessee fans, a 20-point win on the road against Florida is not good enough. Have you been alive the last 22 years?
Yeah, like how could you call yourself a Vols fan if you don't understand like that history?
Good grief.
Right?
I mean, just my blood pressure is getting up. It's driven me nuts all weekend. Like, what is wrong with some of you people? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. All right, with that out of the way, we will get to Corey Curtis from News 2 up next. We'll get his thoughts on Cam Ward's day and the Titans' loss to the Seattle Seahawks to drop to 1-10. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.